Westside Baptist Church in Noonan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the prayer. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power. Precious blood, sing the chorus. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the prayer. All right, sing it one more time. Yes, there is power, yes, power, wonder-working power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Into vessel of honor. Light of the risen land.
It's over there. There are mansions.
That's good. Appreciate all the specials tonight, and I appreciate you being in the house of the Lord, and I do so very much thank our guests for being here this evening, and especially those, the families that are here to see their loved ones baptized. We hope you'll come back and be with us some other time as well. And then it's good to see Brother Roger and Miss Missy back there with us. It's about time they come home. Amen. So I'm glad they're here. But if you have your Bibles, I'm going to look at three passages of Scripture quickly tonight. Three passages. I want to actually start with a passage that we visited this morning, but I believe it falls in direct line with what we're doing here tonight. I'm so glad, and it thrills my soul to baptize young Christians. I love it. Matter of fact, I've asked the Lord to allow us to have so many individuals come to know Him that we're constantly having to fill and refill that water tank back there. Matter of fact, I'd like to have to keep the water in the water tank and have to buy a filtering system to put in there so we wouldn't have to. Hey, it's 400 gallons, folks. That's a lot of water. so we wouldn't have to run all that water. But we'll run it 10 times 10 times 10 if people keep getting saved. But this evening, in Acts chapter 8, excuse me, we visited Acts chapter 8 this morning talking about Philip the deacon. And here in the latter part, we find Philip has been sent by the Lord into the desert in Gaza, and there he spots nothing less than an Ethiopian eunuch. This man is of the royal group. He is the treasurer of Candace, the Ethiopian queen. So this is a man of great stature. Yeah, I guess you could even say in those days he would be considered a very wealthy man. You forgive me for one second. Tis the season, I guess. So the Lord sent Philip to meet this Ethiopian man. He was sitting in his chariot, as we discussed this morning, reading Isaiah 53. And of course, Philip approaches him according to the scriptures and says, "Hey, do you even understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How in the world," this is out to midget verbalization, this is not a quote, "how in the world can I understand lest somebody teach me what Isaiah 53 is saying. So Philip, in verse 35, opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they came and went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" This man knew there was something to being baptized, but he didn't fully understand the role of baptism. He said, "What is keeping me from being baptized?" He understood that. He understood something was hindering him from being baptized, but he didn't know what it was. So Philip explained to him, "What is hindering you, sir, you, ma'am, from being baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." When that happened, that man was a believer. He had received, he had understood the role of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. A Lord Jesus that left heaven and was born in the womb of a little sinner named Mary. She was a good girl. She was a virgin girl. But the Lord even had to save Mary, or little Mary would have died and gone to hell. So the Lord was born from the womb of a sinner and or an individual. And he was raised up. He was brought here to do one thing. And that is to pay our sin debt. Because you can't pay your sin debt. I can't pay your sin debt. Mama, Daddy can't pay your sin debt. It took something, someone special. It took the Son of God. If you remember in the Old Testament, they would kill and then spill the blood of animals, anywhere from bullocks to cows to goats to little sheep and little turtle doves even. They would sacrifice them, and that sacrifice would cover the sins of that man and that family or that group for that year. But there had to be a sacrifice that would be once and for all. There would be no need for sacrifices, and the Lord Jesus Christ was that sacrifice. He sacrificed, he shed his precious blood for you and for me. When they nailed him to the cross, they nailed your sins to the cross. So that is our Lord. That is our Jesus. That is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, 100% man, 100% God. He was God in the flesh. The Ethiopian realized that, believed that, and made that a part of him, received that into his being. And at that point, as a new Christian, the first step of obedience was to get out of that chariot and go over to the pond with Preacher Phillips and get down into the pond and let Philip baptize him. Being baptized did not save the eunuch, and it will not save you. This thing of infant baptism is straight out of hell. If baptism did save you, then that's exactly the time I think you should be baptized. But the eunuch shows us by his example that first he had to believe before he was baptized. Then I want us to turn over to Acts chapter 16. And we know this story like the back of our hands. I mean to tell you, we all know about Paul and Silas. They went into town, and there was a woman that was demon-possessed. And that woman began to follow them around and to taunt them and to make fun of them. And I mean, this went on and on and on for I don't know how long, but it was a very long time. Eventually, Paul just turned around and demanded that the devil come out of that woman. Well, he did. The devil came out of that woman, and it made her masters angry because it was by demonic powers that she could tell fortunes and that kind of thing and somebody's future, and they would make money. Well, they got angry. So they had Paul and Silas arrested because they were hurting their business. Paul and Silas were hurting the businesses of the sorcerers. So this is how they end up in jail in this chapter. But around midnight, the Bible says, around midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands or shackles were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep. And seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Now, remember the reason that the guard was going to kill himself, because in that day, if you were in charge of a prisoner or a group of prisoners, and all or one of them escaped, somebody's going to kill you for allowing them to escape. So it was an honorable thing for him just to fall on his sword and get it over with. But something happened that the keeper of the prison was not expecting. He was falling on his sword about the time Paul cried out with a loud voice saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's an example of the power of God. You get a bunch of dirty, rotten criminals, a bunch of lying, thieving, raping, murdering individuals. God creates and brings down an earthquake. The doors fly open, and they stay in their cells. That's an act of God. And under normal circumstances, they would have been running for high heaven. But yet God held them in their place. And it kept this prison guard from killing himself. Then the prison guard called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And here is what was said. And brought them out and said, "Sirs," this is the keeper speaking to Paul and Silas, "what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt..." Listen. Believe on the Lord... Am I making myself clear? Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And so they spake unto him and of the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house. And guess what happened to him, ladies and gentlemen? They were saved. They believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, not just as a historical figure, a wonderful teacher, or a good man, but they recognized the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, the forgiver of their sins. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad he forgave you of your sins? Well, right after that, in verse 33, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, and he and all his house immediately or straightway. Ladies and gentlemen, we see first he had to come to an understanding that Jesus Christ is Lord and the forgiver and the coverer of our sins. If he had jumped from the prison walls into the pond without believing that Jesus Christ is Lord, he would have been a lost prison guard when he came out of that water. Say, well, can you give me another example? And I need a little more proof. I think I will. One more. I want to take you to a terrible day. And that's the day that our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 23 that there were two malefactors, two thieves, and they hung on the cross, one on each side of our Lord Jesus. Now listen, and one of the malefactors which hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." Man, he was saying, "God, if you're the man, then do something. Don't just stay there, do something." And he was really mocking the Lord. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" Now listen to what happens. Don't lose me. Stay with me. "And we indeed justly," this is still the thief talking, "for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man," referring to Jesus, "hath done nothing amiss." And he said, this is the thief, "And he said unto the Lord, unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Now there is a huge, wonderful message out of verse 42 that I will not get into tonight. But here the thief recognized Jesus Christ as Lord. He said, "Jesus." And that was his name, you know. And then he said, capital L, "Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me when thou comest into my kingdom." And then the Bible says, they took the thief down off the cross and brought him to Westside Baptist Church, and we baptized him so he could go to heaven. That's not what was said. That thief accepted Christ as Lord. There on the cross, that man never came off the cross physically. That man died unbaptized by water, but he was baptized by the blood of Jesus Christ. He was baptized by the living water. Remember, the harlot went to the well. There was Jesus, and he told her, he said, "You drink of this water, you're going to thirst again." Then he did this: "But if you'll drink of this water, you'll never thirst again." That's the water I'm talking about. When the Bible refers to the salvation and baptism in unison, it's talking about the living water, our Lord Jesus Christ, not the physical water. So I am so glad that we have those that are being baptized tonight that have recognized the biblical facts. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is that we all have to be saved. I don't care who your mama or who your daddy is. If my children do not recognize their need for Christ and accept him as their Lord and Savior, If they get out here and get killed, they're going to bust hell wide open. It doesn't matter who their daddy is. My great-granddaddy was a preacher, a circuit-riding preacher, that covered the North Georgia mountains and even went up as far as Kentucky. But him being a preacher wouldn't help me at all when I stand before the judgment seat of God. The thing you need to know to be saved is first and foremost that all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Every one of us in here have sinned. We're dirty, rotten sinners. And there's nothing that you and I can do to save ourselves. It must be through the baptism of the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood that he shed on Calvary's tree. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. You can't work your way to heaven. The Bible says that your and my righteousness is as filthy rags. And I am not going to tell you what those filthy rags represent because it is a little distasteful. But it's grotesque that our righteousness compared to God's holiness, the best that we could ever produce is cankered, filthy rags. That's why the Bible tells us in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his, capital H, the Lord Jesus, according to his mercy, he saved us. Amen. So it's not your righteousness. It's not your works or my works. It is all Jesus. If being baptized made us saved, that would be an act of works. Well, if I get the right clothes on, get in the baptism, let the preacher dunk me, and I'll be clean. Hey, you might be clean on the outside, but if you go in that baptism pool without believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll just put you down as a sinner and bring you up as a sinner. You'll go to hell baptized. You might go to hell with wet clothes on, but that'd be about the end of it. Yeah, they won't stay wet long in that place. Well, how did all this shape up? Well, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's for every one of you that can hear my voice tonight. Jesus loves you. I tell you, we must accept Jesus for salvation. The Bible says in Acts 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Do you believe on him? Not as a good person, not as a great philosopher or teacher, not... I'm talking about Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. I tell you, you don't need to mess around with this. The Bible says now is the time. Now is the day of salvation in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If you've never been baptized by the blood, you've never recognized the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross for your sins. Today is the day that God wants you to be saved. Why? Because we are not assured tomorrow. We're not assured the next minute. Pastor Payne and I were talking yesterday to someone about another party. They were in their truck at work. And they drove a truck, and they were in their truck. And the man that worked with them was out of the truck, spoke to the man driving the truck, went around, got into the truck, and the man that was driving the truck had died just that fast. So he's sitting behind the wheel of the truck. This fella speaks to him, goes around, gets in the truck. The fella is dead. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not trying to scare anybody into salvation, but I do want us to recognize that it is time is real and it is ticking away quickly. And the fact of the matter is that we are sinners without the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan hates you. He wants to drag you one day to his hell with you. He knows this because he's read this book. He knows that when time comes to an end, that he will be cast into the pits of hell forever and forever and forever and forever, and he cannot do anything to redeem himself. So what he's going to do is take as many of us with him as he can. What you have to decide in your life and for your life is, are you going to let yourself to fall victim to a maniac that hates your guts? This is pretty simple stuff. Satan hates you. Why serve him? Satan hates you. Why spend time with him? He wants you to burn in hell forever and forever and forever. Why would you want to associate with a creature like that? Say, preacher, I don't want to go to hell and I don't want to serve the devil. I want to know this Lord. The Bible says this in Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you believe that tonight? Do you truly believe that Jesus was not just a good man, not just a philosopher or teacher, but he came to be your Savior and Lord? And if you're willing to accept him, invite him into your heart, and confess yourself as a sinner, you can be saved. Well, no, sir, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. Well, Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means the murderer. It means the rapist. Hey, folks, it means the terrorist, amen, can be saved. Whosoever, anyone here tonight can be born again. What you going to do with it? We're going to baptize these children. I don't mean all of them are children. I know Miss Brooke is a young adult. But we're going to be baptizing in a minute. But I want it to be clear that this is the first step of obedience as a Christian. That's it. This is not going to make them any more saved. The thief didn't make it to the baptistry, folks. And Jesus said this day, where's he going to be? Paradise with Jesus. And Jesus doesn't lie. The Bible says he's not a liar. So man's a liar, but not Jesus. Do you know the Lord tonight? I'm not asking you if you're a member of this church or any other church. I'm not asking you who your parents are. I'm asking you, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is a serious topic tonight. The topic of eternity. Eternity. I once heard a man describe the beginning of eternity, something like this. He said, if you could get a bird, and every year, every 1 year, that bird could go to the top of Stone Mountain and just take a little grit, one piece of grit off of Stone Mountain one time a year. When Stone Mountain would be completely gone over time, I don't know how many millions and billions of years that would take, but it'd be a lot of them. But when the bird finally retrieved the last grain of granite, eternity would just be beginning. Eternity's a long time. I'm going to ask you to bow your head, close your eyes, and stand, please. The invitation, ladies and gentlemen, is so simple. He must be born again. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, would you step down and just let us take God's word and show you how you can know Christ? Jesus loves you. Brother, you sing. Christians, go ahead and sing.
I am without
one plea. You may need to come pray tonight.
One plea, but
might be your prayer that helps move a lost one
was shed
to the platform.
Me, and that thou
more verse. If you don't know Christ, look, swallow your pride. Just swallow your pride. Don't let the devil take you to hell because you might get embarrassed. He wants you to think you might have something to be embarrassed about. But I want to promise you one thing.
Yeah.
If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you come to this altar. You've got a group of people in here that's going to be rejoicing, not looking at you with a judgmental attitude. You come on, let Jesus save you tonight. Go ahead, brother.
Just as I